with all this programming data for a finance call, but I just think it's important to understand that perspective.
Thanks, Maxie.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
One more, James, and then we should close this one out. James?
Oh, okay, good. Thank you. I thought there was somebody else before me. I just wanted to ask, my main concern right now is survival, and I think we need to apply a lot of your what you call best practices in order to achieve that. I want to ask you, to what extent do you think that the fact that we're not a corporation, but we are a 501c3 membership organization that takes itself seriously as that, as opposed to just, a money-making entity? How much of that is, I'm not suggesting that be changed, but I think maybe you might be to a certain
extent.
No,
I'm not at all. I'm not at all. I want to be real clear.
Okay. To what extent does that affect how things are working from your viewpoint?
Yeah, I don't think that's a factor at all. I think the only difference between, I said this before, the only difference between NPR station and Pacifica station is NPR stations are heavily research-based and data-driven. They make programming decisions. They make financial decisions in terms of revenue generation and revenue centers based on research and data. Pacifica does not. And because we do not, we are winging it. We are not applying best practices. We are not applying proven approaches to revenue generation. The way we do pledge drives is completely out of bounds when it comes to best practices in membership drives, individual donor cultivation, you name it, major donor. None of the ways that we do what we do would fit into the manual of best practices for radio station operations. It's one of the things I promised I would bring to Pacifica when I was first interviewing for this job. I believe it's part of the reason I was hired. And now I'm at the point where I just want to be able to make those things happen. And so I'm hoping that the board will cooperate and find value in that approach and help me enforce it at the station level. Because, I've gotten membership with Greater Public at a reduced discount rate that stations out in the farms would beg for. But did our stations use that research, those resources and tools to do their most recent pledge drives? Absolutely not. Will they be doing it on the next one? If I have a say in it, they will. Because what they've proven overnight over this last month is that what we've been doing doesn't work. So we need to try new practices, new approaches, and we have a template right in front of us with our membership at Greater Public and the tools provided there. Everything from scripts to models for pitching to making the case. I mean, there's so many elements to this that have to be internalized and produced in a Pacifica kind of way. It's not because we're nonprofit that we struggle, because there's a model across the street from us at the NPR stations that is highly productive. And I don't want us to become NPR-like or NPR-light. There's a lot of people who think that's what I'm trying to do. I'm not. I think best practices are universal. And I don't think NPR owns them. I think they've just used them more effectively than we have, because we don't use them at all. What I want us to maintain is our mandate of being progressive. What I want us to maintain is our notion of being independent. And what I want us to maintain is our notion of being community engaged and deeply driven by people power. I want those elements to be fortified. But there are ways to do what we do better, and until we choose to use those tools, we're going to continue to struggle. The same thing applies for programming, community engagement, development, operations, and governance, all five areas. There are best practices galore that we have available to us. We have to use them. We have a membership in public radio program directors. Every one of our stations has access to that information. It would tell them how to conduct pledge drives more efficiently. It would tell them how to format local public affairs programs. It would tell them best practices in creating program schedules. It would give them all kinds of promotional strategy tools. Are they using them yet? No. Will they? I'm hoping. That's my game plan. I'm trying to fortify all of our professionals with a knowledge that many of them never had, because when we had the presentation from the RRC, what was revealed is that none of our program directors were familiar with how to analyze that data. So I'm not calling any names out, but I'm just making it very clear that it was foreign to them. And I don't know how you program professionally without that information. So, and I could go down the line. Yep, thanks.
Okay, you know, just thanks, Maxie. I just wanted to clarify one thing, actually. Pacifica is a corporation. It absolutely is a corporation. It's a non-profit corporation.
So what is it? CPB or NPR?
Say that again?
CPB or NPR, which one?
Pacifica is a non-profit corporation. It's a corporation.
Oh, I get that.
Okay, well.
The question was asked.
No, I was clarifying because the person asked, I don't know who it was, and he said it wasn't a corporation.
Okay. I hear you.
I'm just
saying
that's
what
it is legally, is a corporation. That's all.
If I could make a point of personal privilege.
Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't say that we weren't a corporation. I said we were not like a normal corporation that's driven by profit. We're a nonprofit 501c3 membership organization.
I understood it as such. I understood it as such. And all I was saying is that being a nonprofit is not our issue. That's not what is holding us back. There are examples of very resourceful, very fortified and productive nonprofits who offer great public service. We just happen to be one that right now that's severely challenged in that way, but we can resolve it. We have the tools available. We just have to implement them.
Okay, we've gone about 7 minutes over on this, but Maxie, I really appreciate the overtime there. That was informative and a really good insight into how you're thinking, and I appreciate it. I've been frustrated with the lack of benchmarks in the organization, and it sounds like that's part of what you're talking about here. I would really, really love to see that happen. So I appreciate it if we could move on to item 7. I don't think there's going to be much here, but Jeremy, are you still there?
Yes, I just somehow got dropped. Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. So I understand that we're having some frustrations associated with the spreadsheet, I guess, huh? And all the associated documents.
Yes.
CPFA's budget. Is that
Mr.
right?
Mr. Chair, what item are we on?
We're on item 7.
How about 6?
I thought we were on 6 just a minute ago. I tried to move us on to 6, and I thought that's
okay,
where we
were. Okay, so we're on 7. Okay, thank you.
Sure, not a problem. Is that correct? Are we unable? Have we not been able to get a spreadsheet that is reviewable by the NFC at this point?
Well, all I have is what I've given so far, what I handed forward, and I haven't been able to, time was short since I received that email.
Yeah,
so I'll try to do that by the next meeting.
Okay, so that's fine. We'll skip over the KPFA portion. Are any other units in position to discuss their preliminary budgets at this point?
Mansour with KPFK, no.
This is for 2019, by the way. Okay. I didn't think so, but I thought
Chris,
what's that? Go ahead.
Chris, it's Nick Arena. Just to let you know that the WPSW budget was approved in the March meeting. It's in the March minutes. It was already approved by the NFC at the NFC meeting in March. I don't think there's a reason to go over it again.
No, there's no reason to go over it again. I just, I'm referring to anybody who hasn't presented their budgets thus far. I think there are, is it just two that are remaining at this point? I think it's just KPFA and He's done. Help me out here, guys.
KPFA, KPFK, and WBAI are still outstanding.
Okay, thank you.
This Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
KPFT needs significant changes because our fund drives have come so far under the goals. Clearly, the revenues doesn't match anything. It's not close to what that was in the budget. We have a local meeting tomorrow. We're going to go over it. So maybe we'll have something after that.
I'll add you to the agenda next time, Bill, for the next meeting. If you think you'd be prepared to discuss it at that point.
Yeah, well, Lyndon and I will talk about it and let you know.
Okay.
Thanks.
That'd be perfect. Yeah, we'll take this up on the side then. Okay, so our poll suggested that we discuss the fiscal year 2020 timelines, even though 2019 is clearly not complete. We're already, 2020 is coming right up. And we had a proposed set of standards that were put out about for creating these budgets. I think that there's quite a few members of the board probably that don't have those standards in front of them. And I can make sure that those get distributed so that everybody can have a look at them. But I think that the timeline's already started for that. I just wanted to see if anybody had Paul, do you have those standards in front of you by any chance?
Yes, I do.
How wonderful. Can you tell me what date that was supposed to have started?
Well, okay. A fast preliminary. For years, there were certain dates that were, what we always did. The last time we did this, someone had the brilliant idea of let's make everything 2 weeks earlier, and that way we'll get it all done. Well, silly idea. What we have for the official FY19 budget timeline is it's supposed to start on May 17th. It had, all timelines prior to this, it started on May 31st. And it involved the CFO meeting with treasurers to outline the budget development process and paperwork submission and a call for budget priorities to be discussed in various venues. And then it goes on, from there. I may have sent out the an older one that had the older things. Like instead of May 17th, it's May 31st. Instead of the next thing being June 1st, it's June 15th. Where the local finance committees do stuff and stuff like that, down to July 31st. On July 31st, the LSPs get their last shot at approving a budget, and then it goes on to the CFO and the NFC, and then we pass it to the PNB and all that. So that's the basic deal. I sent this out to everybody. Almost on the 22nd, so everybody should have it. But anyway, it's there. The first thing that was supposed to happen should be happening by this Friday. It ain't going to happen. But I think we should at least get into our heads that there should be a timeline, and we're already about to fall behind on it. So I don't know if we want to try and plug dates in here or stuff or discuss the whole thing or what. So what do people want to do? That's my question.
Well, first of all, the first step in this procedure involves the CFO. Is that correct, R. Paul?
Yes, I have this in two different screens. So, yes, the CFO is supposed
right.
to start it out.
Right. So we have had no CFO. We had no CFO on May 17th this year. So that's obviously not going to happen. It seems like moving it up, moving it the other direction, a full month from that would make it possible at least. It's clearly impossible the way it is right now. So, I don't know if we can, morally justify moving the entire timeline out a month. But then again, look at us. now. You know, we have a couple of tentative preliminary budgets, and nothing has been lifted up to the PMB at this juncture for 2019, and yet we're 2020 is upon us. Half of me thinks that we should just try and wrap up 2019 as rapidly as we possibly can. The other half of me thinks that we should forge ahead with 2020. I would very much like to hear from everybody on this call that feels that has an interest in this subject to speak, because I'm a little confused as to what should actually be done, given that we're, for all intents and purposes, a year behind.
Okay,
surely somebody wants to talk.
What's that?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, one thing we need to understand is that the FY19 budget is not unique. The budgets have been not getting approved for a while now, not just FY19, but previous ones. We haven't been approving budgets. They sometimes we approve them. Some of them should not have been approved, but the PNB hasn't been acting on what the NFC sent it. So there's been some dysfunction in various ways. My thought is that, yes, we should as rapidly as possible put aside whatever the FY19 thing is going to do. If somebody's washing dishes into their telephone, and I wish they'd stop that. Okay, thank you. And so the thing is, we need to start working on FY20. You can see how long this can take. I mean, the third quarter is you know, what, 4 or 5 weeks away. The end of the third quarter is 4 or 5 weeks away, and then we're going to start, you know, the last quarter of FY19. It's kind of late for things. I think we should look at, you know, how things are going and cash flow and the actuals and all of that, but I don't think an actual budget is worth our time for FY19. And so I agree that we should, you know, sort of pay attention to FY19, but really start working on FY20 budgets. Getting the financial information we've been told we're going to get, that will probably help a great deal. Because, you know, the financial information has been not so good for a while. And maybe we'll be able to really make the FY20 budgets good, sensible, realistic budgets. So that's my idea. But I agree with Chris that we should pay attention to FY19, but really start getting together with what to do with FY20. And if we want to remake this entire timeline tonight, that's okay, too.
Yeah, so I'm not sure whether that passes as a motion or not, but it sounds more like a suggestion and a conversation piece. I'm not sure what to do, but I hadn't realized that we were actually already into the cycle on the budgeting stuff, but for 2020, that is. But now that I am aware of that, I'm starting to think that we should start moving that process forward. I do agree with Ron Paul in that the having better financial information is certainly going to help the units on this. And I guess having NETA involved with two of the stations will also help with this considerably. I'll pull up that document and start seeing if we can do a better job of enforcing some of these deadlines as the year progresses. It seems to be a less chaotic situation going forward than it was for the pandemic. And so that seems like a reasonable idea.
There's an awful lot of noise on this call. Could somebody mute their phone?
Yeah, I hear bells in the background. Bill for stack.
Ben is chiming.
Yeah, I'm not sure who that is.
Beat your phone if there's a bell ringing in the background.
Well.
Okay. Well, it seems to have gone away now, for the moment at least.
Bill for the sec.
Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, thank you. Matt Orpahl makes some good points. We really do have to have the data in order to make reasonable budgets. But I'm hesitant to essentially let our stations coast along for the next 4 months of this fiscal year without a budget, because I'm really worried about how we're going to pay for the interest on this loan starting in around September or October. And what we've been hearing from our fund drive results is that they're, you know, pretty poor all over Pacifica. The one-page summary we got from Tamara on Thursday for the PNB was pretty scary, too. Some of the stations not able to make essential services, and I think at least one of them was having to borrow money for payroll and for health insurance premiums for their employees. So we need to know where the money is going to be coming from, and I think we need to be putting money aside now to make sure we can pay those interest payments, even if we aren't sure how we're going to pay back principal on that loan. So I think we should try to revise budgets for this year, for the rest of this year, too, at least so the GMs know kind of what they can spend.
Thanks, Bill. Yeah, I agree with that, actually. I would really like to wrap these things up. I know that they won't be perfect. In fact, I know that they will be far from perfect. But if we can get something in order and start to get, a plan of action for the individual units, that would probably be better than just drifting along. The other half of this, of course, is that there's no telling how long the timeline for the 2020s will stretch out. I'm more optimistic about it than I was about 2019. But it would be a shame to basically be operating, as Maxie so elegantly put it, in the blind for the foreseeable future. So I would rather try and get these things in order as quickly as possible. I know that because Berthold has been gone, it's been impossible to get the BAI stuff done. I'm hopeful that KPFA can get done. I would like to see a little more progress on KTFK as well. That would be great. And hopefully we can bring that up in the next meeting. I'm gonna be a little bit more proactive about the agenda for the next meeting than I was with this one. I'll get started on it this week and start tightening it up and getting some good solid action items in it that don't look like the last three meetings. I'd like to move past this item for the moment because we're starting to run out of time. There was a suggestion that we should spend some time talking about the on-air fundraisers. We did a little bit of discussion on it earlier, so I'd like to limit it to 20 minutes instead of 30. If any of the individual units would like to speak to that, I'd like to hear from them. I'm not sure which station to start with. Sharon, do you are we Arpahl?
Arpahl or Sharon?
I was gonna ask Sharon if she has any idea where KPFA stands so far this year versus our budget versus actual for everything.
I don't know, and I also don't know the current status of the fund drive, so I don't know that information
okay.
right now.
Okay. So for all the individual stations, that would be really helpful information to have. So if they could bring that to the next meeting, I'd appreciate it. If anybody knows their numbers, I would like them to speak to those now if you can. Go ahead, Irv.
Okay.
And Bill.
The WBAI on-air fundraiser has it's supposed to go from April 29th to June 2nd. And so at this point, it has been on for, well, in the numbers I have, management puts out a daily. The interim development director puts out a daily tally. The general manager always disagrees with it and always has a higher number for it, and I won't get into that too much. So I'm only quoting the dailies that we get from the interim development director. And right now, after my eyes are going so badly, after, 29 days. 29 days of pitching, the tally, total tally, is at 190,687. And that comes out to an average of 6,575 a day. The budgeted daily tally is 7,500 a day, so we're about a grand behind. I will say that this is somewhat influenced by the Memorial Day weekend, which I've maintained for quite a few years. We should never pitch on because we can't raise money. And the entire weekend has lived down to its reputation of a weekend we can't raise money on. So there is that. We have this going on, and we're $1,000 a day short. And so that means with all of this, we're on the order of $30,000 a day. Cross out a day. We are altogether approximately $29,000 to $30,000 short of the goal that that management had set for this. So that's a problem, and we're going to miss. And we're using the usual mix of a whole lot of premiums that one of which purports to tell you how to live forever. And this is what we're raising our money on a lot of. There's other things as well, but, what are referred to sometimes as health premiums are a major part of all of it. So anyway, that's it. We're missing about $1,000 a day on this thon, and there's no way to make that up in the next few days. It's supposed to end on Sunday, and that's that.
Thanks, Orville. Yeah, so that's about 15% under. Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, KBFT had a fundraiser that went May 2nd through the 23rd, I believe, which I think is like 22 days, which is longer than just about any of them I remember. Usually they're just slightly less than that up for the spring. Goal was 300,000. We raised 154,000 in pledges. That's about 52%. So it was pretty dismal. This follows a February drive, on-air drive, that also came way under the goal, not quite this bad. And then we had a soft campaign immediately following that during March, which probably generated a lot of listener fatigue because we didn't have people answering phones and not as much pitching, but people were reminded on every show to please donate online. And I don't think it brought in very much. I don't have the totals for that quiet drive, but I heard a lot of complaints from programmers that people were just tired of hearing us pitch so much, and we only had about a one-month break between that quiet drive and our spring drive. And there were other problems, too. There was just a lot of – well, I won't go into it here, but there was a lot of problems with the way the drive was organized.
Yeah. Is there – I'm curious as to whether there were any key factors that created, such a low – that's a low amount of revenue. Is there, I don't want you to speak super specifically, but if you can, is there something that you can generally say to that?
Well, this is kind of anecdotal, but, I know a lot of programmers and a lot of them talk to me and they, said there was poor communication beforehand. A lot of them didn't know the drive was going to start until just a couple of days before. There weren't nearly enough volunteers lined up to answer phones. there were, we've had a number of new programs that just were floundering. They weren't doing anything, and they needed coaching and help, or they need to be matched up with somebody who was experienced, I guess, to help them, and that didn't happen. So there's a lot of little things like that, and we had some of the time slots we didn't have anybody assigned to do pitching, except other than the board op, and you know, and to help the program host. And some of those were recorded shows, and so they had almost nobody to pitch for them. So a lot of little problems. The cumulative effect was, you know, pretty significant. Plus, again, following only a few weeks after the quiet drive in March, which in turn had followed immediately after the February on-air drive.
Okay,
listener
Bill.
Fatigue.
Yep, listener fatigue. Thank you. Fred?
On KPFK, unfortunately, I have not been, this fund drive, I have not been getting any financials. And the only time I got information is when I went into the station 2 weeks ago. At that time, we were doing about 15,000 a day, which is considerably down from the previous fund drives this year. And I've only heard a rumor so far that the current pledge level is about 430,000, and our goal is 750,000. So that's about 57% of 60% of goal at this point in time. We started on May 1st, and this is 28th, so we've been running 28 days. I don't know if they tried to pitch on Memorial Day or not. So I've at this point have a dearth of data. I'm just not getting much information, but it doesn't look good. I'm sorry to report that.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear it. It doesn't sound promising. Let's see. I guess W is still out there. Is that right?
Chris, we started our drive on the 4th of May, and it was set to the 25th of May. We've extended. Our goal was 350, and we are only at about 204, which is about a little less than 10,000 a day. Overall, for the year, we've been ahead of our fundraising and all, overall. But the May has been tough, and the spring drive the winter drive was a little tough for us because of the government shutdown in D.C. That impacted us. But overall, we have been positive. We're extending for the rest of this week, and that is expect to get us closer to that 300,000 threshold that we are working for.
All right. Well, that sounds more promising. There's definitely going to be some revenue issues here. All we can do is keep working towards I guess as Maxie would put it, better practices to try and bring these numbers up. It sounds pretty rough. I think that's it, as far as the fund drives are concerned. We have 16 minutes left, one item left on the, actually two other than the adjournment, one on the adjournment is, new business. Is there any new business on the floor?
Our Paul for a very fast statement.
Go ahead.
Yes. What we should do is I will rework the timeline and ship it back in to make it look like the old days, and we can discuss it at the next meeting. Okay.
That sounds perfect.
All right.
Yeah. And we also have to advise the next meeting date, which I believe is June 11th. Is that correct?
Yes. All of the after the last meeting, when we voted to meet twice a month, which, by the way, is going to help us do budgets a lot better. I put up the I put up all the meeting dates for the next 12 months, so they're all there.
Okay, thank you, Oracle. So, I'm just letting everybody know that June 11th is the next one. It should be a more productive meeting, not following a holiday, and with some of the more units, some more of the units being able to report a little bit better. So I'm hopeful that we'll be able to accomplish a little bit more in the next meeting than we did in this one. Although I appreciated all the banter tonight. It was interesting and informative, especially Maxie. Thank you again. Without any further business, I would like to. I have a technical question. Can I move something? Can the chair move something? Is that possible?
In the committee, yes, you can do that.
Okay, great. So I would like to move to adjourn this meeting. Do I hear any objections to that motion? Hearing no. No objections. I will see you guys all on, or hear all of you guys on June 11th. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.